Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn joined as ever by Andy Holding to look ahead to the best of the action over the Irish Sea. We're going to look at Leopardstown's card on Sunday today. It's also a card at Limerick, but we're going to leave that one alone for now. We've got a pretty strong card at Leopardstown, if we're being honest. You can really get your teeth stuck into this, and obviously as it is the return of the flight, you may be able to get a bit of value with horses getting their first runs of the season. But yeah, hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. Good morning, Mr. Holding.
Yeah, morning, Alex.
How are you?
Yeah, hope is definitely the operative word.
Yeah, I mean, much like the Doncaster card today, it's one of those cards where if you've got an angle, great, because you're going to get a bit of value for it. But at the same time, there are some races where it is a little difficult to find said angle, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to stand pretty, you know, steadfastly with my rules, really, of not having a bet in the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks and just let it all pan out, really. It's just a total guessing game. I mean, the lesson should have been there yesterday for anyone thinking of trying to be cute and back winners at Doncaster. You would have got your fingers badly burnt with 20-1 winners all over the shop. And to be honest, the Curra was just as bad last week when I was trying to, you know, plop my way through that card. All I'd say is that these are recommendations at best. You know, feel free to have a bet if you need to have a bet, but I definitely be keeping my money in my pocket today.
Okay, fine. We'll go through the Leopardstown card then. We'll start at 2:10 with a filly's maiden over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. An open looking race this. Newcomers from the Weld and O'Brien camps have to be respected, but a few horses with experience here who head affairs at the time of recording. In Jim Bolger's, how are we saying this? Was it Sestock, is it?
Yeah, that'll do, yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that. And Got to Dream for the Prendergast team. But, I mean, it's 3-1 the field at the time of recording and looks a pretty open race.
It does, yeah. Intriguing race to start with. And obviously, not many of these have got form on the board or any fantastic time, so it's always difficult for me to, you know, pinpoint something from a solid nature. The one I like the most, so I'd expect her to run reasonably well, is Got to Dream. She's only just had the one start in her career, which is a decent third, first time up at Limerick on soft ground. So conditions at Limerick, at Leopardstown today, which are obviously on the testing side, shouldn't inconvenience her too much. I'm not sure why she hasn't had a race in the interim. Maybe she just suffered a slight setback and, you know, connections backed off her a little bit. Kevin Prendergast made a good start to the turf campaign with the winner last week at the Curra, so the yard's obviously going well, and I like the way she stayed on that day. She certainly wasn't overly knocked about behind Bluebell and Pearl Earring, two useful fillies in their own right. She was doing her best work at the end. She's stoutly bred, particularly on the dam side. She's out of a Montjoie mare, so hopefully this step up to mile and a quarter will improve her chances this afternoon. I think she's around about 7-2, 4-1 this morning, which is a fair enough price, but obviously you're up against several choicely bred individuals from powerful stables, you know, the likes of Khalifa and Meandering. You're going to have to keep an eye on those in the market. So it's certainly a race worth watching without going overly mad on, and Got to Dream would be the selection.
Okay, Got to Dream in the 2:10. Next up is the 2:40. It is a maiden over 1 mile, 2 furlongs once again, this time for Colts and Geldings. And a warm order at the head of affairs at the time of recording is John Ox's Maracouche. A decent second first time out. 11-8 to go one better today. Looks the one to beat here.
He certainly does, yeah. I thought he shared with a deal of encouragement in a decent race at the Curra towards the back end. It was on good ground, so we're in the dark slightly where they'll handle much testing conditions this afternoon. But he swept to the front with what looked to be a winning challenge. inside the final two furlongs, went to the front at the furlong pole, and then once he's run petered out, that would be unkind. I think he went all the way to the line, but he just got run out of it by a useful colt called Sentry from the Aidan O'Brien stable. And the pair of them pulled nicely clear of the third horse. Now, that third horse is also called Prince of All from the Paul Deegan stable, and that landed a monster touch the other day at Dundalk on the evening card a couple of weeks ago in very convincing fashion. He looks a really promising type. So the fact that he was well back in third suggests that form is pretty good. Certainly good enough to win an ordinary maiden. Like I say, it's just whether he handles the ground or not. So you're taking 11.08, really, him being able to handle a slightly slower terrain. The others look real out-and-out stayers, to be honest. So he might just have that touch of class that he needs here, Marrakesh. Adjusted. He certainly went through that race at Navan towards the back end as though he wants at least a mile and a half as a three-year-old. He kind of plugged on at the one speed. He was actually last with two furlongs to run, but he did beat a couple home and did some good work up the hill. And Fascinating Rock, he definitely looks a real out-and-out slogger. I mean, he ran in a mile maiden here towards the back end on heavy ground, but he didn't have any kind of speed. He was devoid of pace completely through that race, and he looks a future star over a mile and a half and beyond. Tikris River ran in probably another similar maiden to the Marrakesh when he was six behind Ebonoran, but he faded quite tamely late on, so I'm not totally sure about him, even though he's a Montjeu horse. So this is really Marrakesh's to lose. If he handles the ground, I think he'll win.
Okay, Marrakesh in the 240. Next up is the 310. It is the 2000 Guineas Trial Stakes, a listed race over a mile. Just one question here, Andy. At 310, we've got the 2000 Guineas Trial Stakes. That's a listed race over a mile. And then at 345, we've got the 1000 Guineas Trial Stakes, which is Group 3 race over 7 furlongs. Hmm. Why would that be?
It's always been like that. I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. Doesn't make any sense, does it, to be honest?
Different trips and different grades as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think the Colts trial is by far the most interesting. Aidan O'Brien had a quiet start last week, didn't he, two proceedings, kind of testing the water. So somewhat with one or two of his horses not hitting the ball out of the park. And, you know, he didn't really rip up any trees yesterday in Dubai, although obviously that was a different training regime. But it's slightly worrying if you're thinking about taking 2-1 about Indian Maharaja, who has looked a nice colt, albeit he's got form just on a fast surface. That was at Garin when he won by a wide margin first time out, didn't beat a great deal. I thought there was more substance to that Tipperary win in a listed race last time when we saw him, and he couldn't fail to win that day. He was under to 30 on, but at least the third Flight of the Moon has boosted that form. He won last week for the Watchman camp, so as it stands, that form isn't probably too shabby. It's just whether he can handle the ground. He's by Galileo, and most of Galileo's want a decent surface, so I think this one could be on the slide today in the market. I'm not saying he won't win, because I've got no evidence whether he'll handle the ground or not, but the one that I'm pretty sure that will handle conditions and therefore is my selection is Shining Emerald, a horse that I tipped last year when he won at the Curragh, that listed race, after absolutely running away with a list-style maiden in a fantastic speed figure. He won by 16 lengths, no less, but the figure backed it up that it was a good performance on the clock, as well as visually impressive. Like I say, he coped with a slightly quicker ground next time out. And he was all the rage then to end the year off with a win in a Group 3 at Leopardstown. Unfortunately, he came unstuck, but it was more to do with the ride that Craftsman got in the hands of Michael Hussey, rather than the second and the third doing anything wrong in particular, because they were closing the winner down at the end. But the winner rather got first run on them in a bit of a stop-start affair. And I think if Shining Emerald had had a race run at a more even tempo, he might have won that race. He's up to a mile, but he's certainly bred to get a mile. He's by Claude Deville out of the Zephonic mare, and I think the further he goes, the better he'll be. But he just loves this ground, that's the key. I think, you know, Deegan having spot on for this as well. It's a yard that leaves no stone unturned when it comes to preparing a horse like this. His yard started the year pretty well, and he's right about 5-2, so I think he represents the value. If you're going for one that obviously is fitting well and take no chances with, that's Go for Gold from the McDermott Weld stable. That race he ran in last week was the fastest furlong per furlong time I got at the Curragh behind Flight of the Moon. So if the blinkers work again, he could be one for those that like taking a chance at double figure odds. But I'm a massive fan of Shining Emerald, and hopefully he'll prove my justification in being a good horse on his seasonal debut.
Okay, next up is the 345. It is the aforementioned 1000 Guineas Trial Stakes, Group 3 contest over 7 furlongs. Still an interesting contest this, Andy, regardless of comparing it to the previous race. And another hot favourite here for Dermot Weld and the Aga Khan. Well, I say Dermot Weld, the first one was John Ox, but of course the Aga Khan could be on for a reasonably quick fire double here in the form of Balansire. But at the same time, that one being so popular in the market does open it up from an each-way perspective.
It does, yeah. I'm reluctant just to take a short price about this Balansire, because although she was visually impressive and she quickened up really well in that race that she won towards the back end at Leopardstown, it was a very, very slow time. It was the slowest time on the card. Now, being a time analysis, there's no way I can back a horse that just did a 63 on the figures and now it runs in a group race next time. Despite it looking really good, she did a very fast split time from the 3 furlong pole. She's come home in 35 and change, and if you look at, you know, the other horses on that car, they were doing 36, 37, 38, but they were running in much stronger even tempo races. For instance, Blue Hussar, who won the next maiden for colts, he ran to a figure of 72. Balansire I got running to a figure of 63, and then Elegant Peace, a horse rated 65, also from the Dermot Weld camp, ran to 77. And that was all, they had the same course and distance. So you can see how slow they went in that race. And that's why she was obviously so impressive, because she was the only one that could quicken off the slow fractions. If they go quicker here, obviously she's going to be tested more. And at 5-4, 11-8, I'm just not prepared to back her at that price. If she wins, fair enough. And I'll say, well, she's able to cope with the stronger pace. But the ones with the figures are the ones I'm interested in here. There's so many of them as well that run decent times last year. Avenue Gabriel would be the pick of those, or one of the pick. She ran a series of really good races on decent ground and soft ground, and she's the one really that you should concentrate on, really, if you're a speed figure man. And the other one is Remember You as well. I've got a bit of time for this fit. I thought she was hugely unlucky in that race at Ayr towards the back end of the season, when not getting a run in the hands of Wayne Lorden. Prior to that, she chased home a really smart horse called Great White Eagle at the Curragh. That was over 6. It's just whether she gets the extra furlong, which is the only slight bogey, but she's certainly got the figures to go well here, and I think if they go quite quickly, that'll definitely play into her strength. She's 16-1 this morning, in and around that kind of price, and I'd rather risk a few quid each way on Remember You from a yard that started the year well, and she's got some good figures from last year. So Remember You each way at a price in the 1,000 Guineas trial.
Okay, Remember You there in the 3:45. Next up is the 4:20, a handicap over 7 furlongs. Really, really open look to this race. I suppose the question that we can start by asking is, what on earth is Sailor's Worn doing over 7 furlongs?
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? This could be a brilliant pair of placing by Edward O'Grady, or you know, this could be a real you know, kamikaze kind of bit of training. I don't really know where to stand with it, to be honest, because we've got no evidence whether this kind of distance is going to suit this horse. I mean, he's been running over 2-2.5 miles. For the last couple of seasons over hurdles, and albeit he comes here off the back of a really good performance the other day over 2-2 at the track, you know, this is far removed from what he's usually capable of doing. So your guess is as good as mine. He's been putting quite short in the betting, but it's almost like he's favourite also as well by default, because quite a few of these are either hard to fancy, they've been out of form largely, and not many horses have got form at this track either. I think Leopardstown form is often a source that I usually look for, and I can't really see that many angles in this race, to be honest. With that in mind, I'm probably just going to stick with Vasoni, because, you know, she's a horse that I followed last year on soft ground, and 7 furlongs over this, ran on this ground is going to be fine for her. She hasn't got a particularly massive record going well fresh. That would be the only slight question mark I have hanging over her. I'm just hopeful that her ability to handle the conditions will be enough to get her through. But it's a race I've got absolutely no clue or idea or feel for whatsoever. Sailor's Worn has thrown us a complete curveball. And so the rest don't really make too much appeal. So Vasoni is just a throwaway selection.
OK, the penultimate race on the Leopardstown card is a handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. That comes up at 4:55. Another competitive race at the time of recording. Manhattan Swing heads affairs for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen. But Indian Icon not too far behind. And Indian Icon is a horse that I'm pretty keen on here, Andy. What do you make of his chances?
Yeah, I think he's got a chance. I think the key to this race could well be the horses who've been running over hurdles. They might just have that fitness edge on the bad ground, which will stand him in good stead here. I certainly respect Manhattan Swing, even though he hasn't had a run. He rounded off the season with an eye-catching run behind Diocios in a good and competitive race at Navan when he came from a long way back under top weight to finish second, and he's been put in favourite this morning. But he could be vulnerable, like I say, because he hasn't had a run. I certainly think Way Down South is vulnerable as well. He's a horse that wants slightly better ground than this, and he hasn't won for the best part of four seasons. So, you know, I couldn't back him either. I think Cardinal Palace has got an unbelievably stiff task carrying 10 stone 3 on ground that I'm pretty sure won't suit him either. So if you look at this race, it's quite fragmented. So I can certainly see why you fancy Indian Icon. He's a horse who has got fitness on his side. He's been running against some good juveniles throughout the course of the season without winning. He's probably been overbetting several races because of his early season form, tying in with like Guitar Pete, etc. But I'm not a million percent convinced with him. I don't think he's as good as what the market always suggests. And there's a horse here that stands out for me, and I'm going to make this horse my nap today. I do like a bit of a juicy price nap every now and again. And he's around about 8-1 this morning. That's two chews from the Thomas Gibney stable. Now, he rounded his season off on the flat in a good race here at the track behind Castle Guest. He didn't get the best of runs through that day. He was towards the back of the field, and as we know, it's difficult to make ground from the rear in the short straight at Leopardstown, but he finished his race off very, very eye-catchingly and strongly into fourth. I marked him down as a horse to keep an eye on. And he's been running quite well throughout the winter as well. He's only had three or four runs, but they've all been pretty good. He was seventh to Vator in a race which obviously worked out really well at Navan early in the season, so that was a good run. Then he was second to Lieutenant Colonel, no less, who chased home Real Steel in a good race down in Punchestown a few months ago. His last run was quite good, but he didn't quite get home on the bad ground at Fairy House. But, you know, look at the nuts and bolts of that form. The second's won Dane King. Levant Danton has won. The fourth has won, Noble Endeavour. And All Hell Let Loose, who finished fifth, has won since. So the four horses that finished in front of him have all won Hayden Hurdles next time out. So he's been keeping very good company, two chews, despite not getting the trip. Now he's back to Leopardstown. He's got fitness on his side. He'll handle the ground. And there's doubts about one or two of the market leaders. So I'm going to make two chews my nap, 8-1 each way. He's the best bet on the card.
Okay, to choose the nap there in the 4:55. The final race on the card comes up at 5:25. Handicap over 1 mile and 6 furlongs. Really, really interesting race for me, this one, Andy. A lot of horses that you could give chances to. A lot of different profiles of horses coming into this race. But which one do you fancy?
Yeah, interesting to see there's money behind Dermot Wells' mare. Truth Will Set You Free. He's got a really good record, hasn't he, Dermot, with mares, fillies, etc., as we know over the years. The list is endless. And the fact that he keeps his horse in training suggests that you know, he feels that this horse is worth persevering with. Now, she was slightly disappointing on more than one occasion last year for one reason or another, and she finished with only one behind her in the November handicap, or the Movember handicap, as it was called, towards the back end last year. That run wouldn't set the pulses racing, but interesting, there is money for her this morning, so I think she must have been doing some good work perhaps in the spring, and she's come to hand a little bit better than some others in the yard. So I definitely would suggest she's worth keeping an eye on. Tioct is certainly the standard bearer for the race for me, however. She rounded off a year in good fashion, winning at a decent time here at this track on heavy ground, where she's standing very strongly for to beat Showcourt, who incidentally is one of Dermot Wells as well. And I think stamina is very much a key suit. Now, Jim Bolger didn't have a winner last week at the Curragh, so it's slightly worrying that that master trainer didn't manage to get a win on the ball, which he usually does at his favourite track. So there is a slight question mark. But I'm going to go with Tichok because I think you know, her ability to handle the ground around this track is key, and she's the one I like in the last.
Okay, great stuff, Andy. Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with all those picks at Leopardstown, and we'll catch up with you later on in the week.
Yeah, will do. Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.